Hello and welcome to Sovereign Minds. And tonight we have Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers with us. And as you know, it's going to be another great show for you, our listeners. We have a new sponsor tonight. And this is Advanced Soil Stabilization, using Technosoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. Also, they install Crestone driveways. You want to call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. I'm going to repeat that, 530-549-4801. Advanced Soil is green-friendly and eliminates dust. And I want to touch base on something here. I live out in the country. We use these services and things, and they're great. They keep the dust down during the summertime, and it's really a lot easier to walk around without a lot of dust in your face. But like I said, you want to call Todd Sykes at 530-549-4801. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome him to the crew here. And so let's get on with some news threads now. Let's jump to straight to some of these threads. The Tea Party is keeping a close eye on those that they've already backed, that have been elected into the offices and things like that. You guys keep it up. Good going, Tea Party. You know, we got these people in there. Don't let them be taken over by those good old boy networks up there. And that seems to be what's happening with maybe one of the individuals.
Right. We just got to make sure that if they're going to go globalist, then they're not for us.
And yeah. So time to get them out of there.
Right. So, no, we did a good job. We got rid of the bums, some of the bums. Now we got to get some in. So hopefully they're going to do what they're supposed to.
Yeah, good.
We don't want to just go back to the Bush era. We want a new... new era.
So. Well, that's one thing that we do here on Sovereign Minds. We don't take either side of the fence.
Nope.
We stand center and we look, and if you're not doing what needs to be done for the American people, then we're going to get on you. That's all it is to it. That's what our listeners want. That's what we do. Border drug wars are now spreading further south, actually, into Mexican southern regions. There's more beheadings, more killings. This Zeta cartel is really growing and really going crazy out there. How long is it going to be before they just straight out attack our border stations and things like that? I mean, we don't need that kind of stuff happening.
Yeah, it's bleeding over into ours, too. Parts of Arizona,
yeah.
Lower part, 10 miles into ours, is they tell them don't even go there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. My son just came back from there, and I talked to a few other people I know, and it's a no-man's zone, you know.
Right.
That's 10 miles into our own country. That's ridiculous. Iran is joining Libya and Venezuela in an agreement to raise oil prices per barrel up to $100. You know what's going to go from there?
Yeah, I mean, what are the Saudis and them doing? So that's what we got to pay attention to.
Exactly.
I know Iran's buying a lot of gold and silver.
Oh, yeah, so, quite a bit.
But, you know, I mean, well, with that Iran thing, me personally, you know, they didn't say they were going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
That's true. They haven't.
They said the regime that is running Israel,
right.
You know. So, but I don't think because they're trying to get one bomb, that's a bad thing necessarily. They have a right to defend themselves.
They have a right to protect
the
country.
When people around them, like, say, Israel, they have over 200 nukes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't see how they're complaining about it too much. But, you know, we don't need to go to war for anybody. We need to just stay home, take care of ourselves, and that's it. That's why people wanted to come to our country, and that's why they'll continue to want to come to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're getting they're kind of not liking us too much, so we got to get our good name back.
Well, I think that's not because of the people. That's because of the actions that the government and the intelligence agencies and everything are doing. I've talked to a lot of people. They like us. They just don't like the way that, you know, our country is imposing upon them, you know. Okay, an individual wounded during the Arizona shooting incident is temporarily incarcerated in a mental facility after an incident took place at a town hall meeting. Congressperson was talking there and started talking about gun control, and he stood up basically and said, "You're dead." So they arrested him right away and took him to check him out and see if he was mentally stable. Luckily, the congressman isn't going to press charges. You know, he doesn't want to. You know, he said, but a lot of this, ladies and gentlemen, this is really starting to boil over. People are getting tired, and they don't know who to strike back at in many cases, you know. You do have some unstable people out there, and the one thing we don't want to do is get those people to do. We don't like what happened in Arizona at all.
All we have to do is stand up. They want people to strike out.
They do.
They're going to
use that
against any cause they can.
They'll turn around and institute new laws, and the ones that are in there, they'll make harder, and that means that they'll take away more of our freedoms that we have. First Amendment, Second Amendment, Ninth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, all of them.
Fourth Amendment, Patriot Act, Fourth Amendment.
Big time, Okay.
Get Stuart on.
With that said, now let's go straight to Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers, our special guest, Nate. Bring that man in.
Well, yeah, this is a great organization for ex-military, current military, firefighters, police, anybody that swore an oath to the Constitution to uphold and defend it against domestic
not
and
the
foreign.
President. The Constitution.
Not present, a Constitution. And so, Stuart Rhodes, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So how's everything going with your Oath Keepers?
Oh, we're doing good. We're growing like a weed, and we're doing a lot of new things.
Mm-hmm. What, Stuart, this is Wycro. What really made you decide to create Oath Keepers? What particular incident or thing in your life, on a, you know, we're all soldiers here. There are certain things that made us click and do what we're doing. What was it that really keyed you to do what you're doing?
Well, the big thing was the pattern of expansion of executive power and the claim power of the president and the way the laws of war are being turned inward and being applied here at home.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, during the Bush years, when the president claimed the authority to detain anyone, even an American citizen, as an unlawful enemy combatant, and did that with two citizens, and set that precedent. And so that's what I really was alarmed by more than anything else, was the increased claim that the president, as commander-in-chief, could treat Americans as though they were foreign enemies, and treat America as though it were a battlefield, and claim the exemption from the Bill of Rights here domestically. That, and also the formation of NORTHCOM, and the dedicated assignment of military troops here for domestic deployment really concerned me.
Well, a lot of people don't actually know what NORTHCOM is. Can you touch on that for our listeners?
Right. Well, it's Northern Command. So it's a military command of the United States for the first time in our history, as same as you have a European command or an Asian command, mm-hmm. Pacific Command. So it's the contemplation of the United States being a place to deploy the active duty military on a permanent basis, rather than even just ad hoc in response to a crisis, but on a permanent basis. And under NORTHCOM, you have the assignment of the 1st Combat Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division for domestic use. Now, why that's alarming is because under our constitutional order, it is supposed to be the militia of the several states that takes care of internal emergencies. And also, as Article 1, Section 8 makes clear, repelling invasions, enforcing the laws of the Union, or suppressing insurrections. And the reason why the founders wanted to rely on the militia for internal uses is they did not trust the standing army. They had seen historically that standing armies are more likely to be used against the people than a militia. That was their answer to the ancient question of who should guard the guardians. It was that we should guard ourselves. And so they wanted to rely only on the state's militias. That's why you see no articulation in the Constitution for domestic deployment of the standing military. They are for external enemies, not to be used here at home. But they are being used here at home. And so that's the problem I saw, is that, you know, they're being taught the laws of war. They understand, you know, to try to prevent another Mila massacre, or now Abu Ghraib is the big example of being they're being taught. To avoid those problems, they're taught, you know, the laws of war, but they're not taught the Constitution. And that's okay if they're only used overseas. But when they're used here at home, then they're running right up against the Bill of Rights guarantees for our rights as Americans. And so that's the big concern I had. And we saw that during Katrina in New Orleans. You had active duty military, 82nd Airborne, for example, along with National Guard patrolling the streets and disarming people. And
yep.
So that's the most recent example of a domestic use of the military where your rights of American citizens were violated.
Right, we'll see that a lot too with they'll integrate the military in with police checkpoints, you know, DUI checkpoints, and try to integrate them with things like that with environmental cleanup and everything, just so we get used to seeing them on our streets when we know
right. And they're getting used to, the police are getting used to the military working with the police and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, now you have military liaisons in most large police departments. Like for Las Vegas Metro, for example, I know that there are military liaisons that have been inserted within Las Vegas Metro. And this is part of the same pattern. What they're doing, like I said before, is they're essentially treating the United States as though it were a foreign country. The claim under the Bush administration was that, for example, the NSA spying, the defense of that wasn't that there's some kind of exception of the Fourth Amendment that they were operating under. The claim was that the president's commander-in-chief can surveil the battlefield, and so the Fourth Amendment doesn't even apply, and that the United States is the battlefield in the war on terror. So that was, that was one claim. Under the same justification, he claimed the authority to detain any American citizen as an unlawful alien combatant. No indictment, no jury trial, none of the due process we expect under the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments of the Constitution, but instead being treated as though they were an Iraqi or an Afghani. And that's the legal precedents that have been put in place. And Obama has not renounced that. To the contrary, Obama now claims the authority to assassinate American citizens, wherever found, that he thinks are enemy combatants in the war on terror. And so far, they've only targeted American citizens overseas. But there's nothing in that legal precedent, if you allow them to do that, there's nothing that prevents them from doing it here at home. There's no difference under constitutional law between targeting American citizen overseas and targeting American citizen here. And so the dangerous precedents set and claimed by Bush and unfortunately upheld by the Supreme Court have only been expanded by Obama. And so this is the situation we're in now, where you have NORTHCOM and FEMA both dividing the United States up into 10 zones, both for purposes of FEMA and also for purposes of NORTHCOM, 10 regional zones in the United States. And that corresponds almost exactly with the members of the governor's panel, the governor's advisory panel to the president that was created under Obama after Bush enacted the legislation. So this is where we are. It's kind of an upside-down flipping of the constitutional order on its head. So instead of strong sovereign states where if the president wants to use force internally, he has to go to the state militias and call them up. And if they don't think it's constitutional, they can simply stand down. He'd be impotent. But instead, he has his own special unit assigned to NORTHCOM under his command that he can call on, not even talking to the states. And he can do so within this 10 regional zones of FEMA and NORTHCOM.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've studied NORTHCOM and what's going on there. You know, the North American Union situation, what they're trying to do there. And it's really interesting. I like what you said there, that this was carried on from Bush and Obama hasn't tried to stop doing anything here. It's really bad that they've really, as you said, turned the Constitution upside down, and we're now the bad guys. I mean, even the soldiers coming back from Iraq and those that have already been back from Vietnam, you know, Afghanistan, where all of us are from one or the other war, and we're looking at them now looking at us as possible terrorists.
That's the label that's being assigned. Uh-huh. And we saw that with the Mayak report, where you had Ron Paul supporters and Chuck Baldwin supporters basically labeled as potential security threats. And that's kind of the meme that's being spread by Southern Poverty Law Center and also by DHS itself, is that they're attempting to get police to think that anybody who quotes the Founding Fathers, who stands for the Constitution, is a potential cop killer. And that's what they want them to think. So it's more of a divide-and-conquer strategy. So that's why we can't fall for that trap. Certainly there is a lot of bad cops out there and a lot of bad police abuse we see on YouTube all the time. But if you think that all police are your enemy, you're making a huge mistake. Just as the police who thinks that all constitutionalists are their enemy is making a huge mistake. We can't let ourselves fall for that trap.
I agree. I agree 100%. I know a lot of officers out there, very good officers. They're very wound up in their community. They know what is going on, who's doing what. And that's the way with a lot of the not a lot, but some of the politicians out there. They're really trying to make a difference here. And
Recently especially, we've had, in this last year, we've seen quite a few state, especially at the state level, real serious Ron Paul Republicans, real serious patriots elected to office. In fact, we just had a statewide meeting here in Montana December 18th. Oathkeepers sponsored a meeting of all the different liberty groups in Montana, and we had about 20 current serving legislative members from the Montana legislature in attendance, and also a couple of candidates for governor. And so, and there's all kinds of really strong, powerful bills that they're proposing for this next session, one of them being a jury nullification bill, recognizing the power of the jury to nullify laws, and also a sheriff's first bill, which would require federal agents to get the permission of the sheriff before they can do any arrests or investigations in that sheriff's county.
Well, isn't that already...
You know, sound money bill? What's that?
Don't they already need permission? Doesn't the sheriff have ultimate power of the county anyway?
Well, certainly, but here's the thing. It's rather than having a sheriff all on his own standing up and acting as a guardian of your rights, it's better to have the sheriff backed up by the legislature and governor of the state, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the whole point of that, is to give the sheriff more support and put the entire state behind that sheriff, not just him by himself.
Yeah, that's a good point, for sure. I think state level is people need to focus on a lot more. We have more control at the state level, and that's why they set it up like that for get our Congress. And I think the judicial branch is the one that's really dropping the ball here. And they're the ones to blame 100% right now for letting this happen.
Well, I think what is happening...
Actually, I think the people that should be blamed are ourselves.
Well,
our own negligence. We have allowed the institutions that the founders gave us to atrophy. For example, the state militia, and also the concept of sound money at the state level and state sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really our fault.
Yeah, well, that's what the judicial's there for, is to make sure they're not trampling on the rights. But, yeah, it is our fault. We're voting these guys in, and we're letting them stay in. So, yeah, that's true.
But,
you know, one thing that I see here and everything, and you're right, it is our fault. What we do is we haven't educated ourselves, actually, in the Constitution of what's going on. They really don't teach it in the schools anymore. We're out here handing out pamphlets and everything else and doing our show trying to get people aware, read your Constitution, understand that a state really is a sovereign nation. And that's where you're coming from here. You know, you're telling the people in each state, hey, the feds really don't have the control unless we let them have it.
Well, we live in a dual sovereignty system. The way to look at it is two spheres, as Madison pointed out in the Federalist Papers, two spheres of sovereignty. The federal government is sovereign in its sphere, and the states are sovereign in their sphere. And that's the whole point of the Tenth Amendment, was to reaffirm what already existed, that the federal government only has enumerated powers, and all else is reserved to the states or the people. So that's the key point. That's why I like the term nullification of federal laws, because you're not nullifying it. It's already null and void. Any law contrary to the Constitution is null and void from inception, as the Supreme Court has pointed out in many cases. And so when you're defending, what you're really doing is defending the powers, the reserved powers of the state, and you're defending it against unconstitutional actions. So that's the point. That's why I encourage folks to go read Jefferson's Kentucky Resolutions, and also James Madison wrote the Virginia Resolutions counterpart. And in there, it's very clear that act contrary to the Constitution is null and void. What they asserted was that the states had a responsibility to declare such an action null and void and to resist. And so that's where I stand.
Well, you know, there's something that I've been watching very closely with quite a few other states, Missouri, your state up there where you are. And what they're trying to do is, with a lot of the federal monies, let's say the IRS and the monies that we pay to them at the end of every year, is taking that money and putting in state treasuries. And then if the feds don't follow through with what they need to do, what they have promised the state, then the state doesn't have to pay them all of those monies. They keep some of that money to take care of what they were supposed to do here.
Right. That's just a really good idea. What state is doing that right now?
Missouri. They're talking about it out there right now. I've heard a couple other ones. I just watched and actually read an article on it real quick. And I'm gathering more information as the days go by on that. And I think all states really need to look at this, you know. I think that's a very good thing to do, because you take the feds' money away, they're going to start listening to you a little more.
That's how they get you, is just put you in debt.
Well, that and also states need to also wean themselves mm-hmm. off of federal money. Even though you're being taxed for it, you still have an obligation. So if it's unconstitutional, then you shouldn't be going along with it only because you want to get the money back.
I agree.
Yeah, just if you look at I like to compare the Communist Manifesto to our Constitution now, and I see a lot of the planks of the Communist Manifesto in our country right now, particularly the central banking system. Can you go a little bit, how do you feel about the Federal Reserve and their control?
Well, here's what I just told the folks when I gave a speech in Boston for the Boston Tea Party on December 12th. I said, you know, picture over your head a huge rotting building is ready to fall down. That's the artificial fiat money system that's been placed over us. It's crumbling, but ready to collapse. If we just sit here and bellyache and don't do anything about it, it's going to collapse on top of us. And if we think we can climb our way out of the rubble and rebuild, we're fooling ourselves, because they have something else already planned for when that happens. And next step is going to be a worldwide Fed. They're already talking very openly about a world currency. And so what we have to do is step out from underneath that fiat structure and get back to what the founders, you know, designed for us. It's the foundation is still over there. We're just not using it. So what that is sound money at the state level, at the local and state level. We got to create our own alternate system, which is easy to do if you do it constitutionally. So I encourage people as individuals, as communities, counties and states, to start using sound money again, which means gold and silver. And when they do that and create their own infrastructure for a real sound money economy, then we can just let the fiat money system collapse, which it will eventually. And then we can rebuild as a constitutional republic of sovereign states.
Yes, I agree there. Once we break away from this Federal Reserve, and I think that's something that one of the first things that we need to do, because then once we have a stable money system, monetary system within our United States or within each state, and I've heard of states talking about doing that, I think that is very important for us to look at. Get back into who we are, you know, as a state,
right,
and start basing everything on a tangible monetary system.
But I mean, just for the record, I would support obviously in the Fed bill and any in fact, when I was in Nevada, I was on the platform committee for the Republican Party of 2008, and one of the planks we had was repeal of the Federal Reserve Act. So I certainly support that, but I don't see it happening fast enough. I think we're going to hit an economic collapse before that does happen, and so that's why I advocate that we do it from the grassroots up, do it from the very bottom up, start using gold and silver ourselves in our own communities first.
Yeah, just start preparing.
Structure back up in our states.
Right, start preparing. Another thing we like to talk about on this show is getting prepared.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So silver and gold and food is kind of what I'm telling people to get into. I mean, anything else you would suggest to people?
Well, I think that people should focus on four main areas. One is, you're right, you need food. And as I pointed out in a speech I gave in December, on December 18th here in Montana, the United States used to have a Federal Grain Reserve of about 3 years during the Cold War. Now they have enough grain only to supply every American citizen with half a loaf of bread. So that's it.
Wow.
And so what we have to do as people is, you know, do that for ourselves. Each person should have food storage and should have the ability to take care of themselves, I would say, for 6 months to a year. And so that's essential. But the next one is physical security. You need to have physical security in your state. And so what you need to do is revitalize an actual state militia. And by that, I mean an official county militia, and then eventually a state militia statute with an organized militia under the command of the governor. And the reason why you want to do that is that when you have your own security handled at the state level, then if or when the economic collapse comes, there'll be no reason for FEMA and NORTHCOM to come in, no pretext. If you don't have a pretext, if you don't have starving, hungry people who are worried about crime and gangs running the streets, then there's less of an excuse for NORTHCOM to come in, and the military and police are less likely to go along with it, because they'll say, hey, they don't need our help. They don't want us in there, and they don't need us, so why are we going in? And so the pretext is gone. And the third thing I told people to focus on besides sound money and school security, food security, and then the fourth thing, actually, is state sovereignty. Getting back to focusing on your state. Washington, D.C. is almost hopeless. So you need to focus on your state. Make sure your state is a constitutional state.
California is pretty close, too.
Representatives are constitutionalists.
I look at California, it's probably number 50 out of 50 for being the worst of the worst, because we're just giving ourselves to the federal government. I don't think anybody in our state legislature is interested in sovereignty at all.
Well, I've talked to a few legislators and stuff of that, and talked about this, and they just kind of, you know, they stick their nose up in the air.
Roll their eyes.
You know, because they have their special interest groups they're getting their money from, and they're attached to the Fed situation, so... You know, we've always preached about staying local here on this radio station, you know. Buy local,
right.
Grow local, do everything as you can local, and then look at your state from that point on.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's a reason why I moved to Montana. I used to live in California, grew up there, then moved to Nevada, and then I just picked Montana as the freest state in the union, left. Mm-hmm. So, but if you are in California, nothing keeps you from trying to square your accounting away. Because when the crap hits the fan, your neighbors and you, whatever you've done in preparation is what you're going to have to live with. Whatever you have not done is going to come back to haunt you.
What is the one thing right now that you could tell people that you are seeing coming? Let's see, let's kind of throw like a little timeline. When do you really see things start getting bad if things don't start changing and doing like Montana and Missouri and things of this, the states taking back their power from the feds?
Well, I think almost it's almost inevitable. It's almost like the analogy would be, it's not that we're heading for the iceberg, we've already hit it.
Yes.
And I'm not an economist, but after talking to many different economists, I think that they're accurate, that they're saying, look, it's too late. You can't pay back this debt. The dollar is going to die. So you need to accept that and then prepare for the consequences. And if you don't, like I said in my speech, if you don't do something to create a viable economy and self-sufficiency at state level, then you will, by default, be a weak people who are desperate and hungry and insecure and more likely to go along with what they have planned, which is the destruction of our national sovereignty. So that's why we have to focus on the states. Focus on you as an individual, your family, your neighborhood. Start a neighborhood watch. Focus on your town and your county. Get them squared away. Start a posse to support your sheriff. Start a sheriff's auxiliary, police auxiliary, whatever you can do to get people to take part in their local community again. Of course, the best would be a county militia. But even that's hard to do, probably politically difficult to do in time. That's why you can't rely on that. You have to also start volunteer associations such as neighborhood watches so that you are prepared at least in your neighborhood. Because we don't know how much time we have left. And so as we work upwards, as you work from the bottom up, however much time we have left, you're better off when the crap hits the fan. And so, but what I think is going to happen, I think we probably have about a year. And that's about it as far as preparing for a serious devaluation of the U.S. dollar. The world's already starting to dump the dollar. China and Russia now trade into yuan between each other. Brazil is on the way to doing the same thing, part of the whole BRIC coalition of Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And so the world, major currencies or major communities in the world are already dumping the U.S. dollar. So I think it has about a year left. That's about it.
I agree with you there. And I've heard 6 months to a year, but not too many people are talking over a year. Now, those of you that are in the chat room or want to call in and chat here with questions for Stuart Rhodes here, please do so. And, you know, if you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567. And if you have questions for him, please call in and go ahead and ask him. Now, there's a question I have for you here, Mr. Rhodes.
Sure.
And this is, we have an unorganized militia, too. Can you touch base on that? We're talking about the militia that the governor would run and everything. I've had this question brought up, and can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, actually, I think it's a kind of artificial separation. The militia was always the able-bodied population. Like here in Montana, it's defined as the able-bodied citizenry of Montana, period. Unorganized and organized are constructs of statutes, in particular the Dick Act, which created the organized militia, the National Guard, leaving the rest of us as the unorganized militia. The National Guard is not really the militia. What we're supposed to have is you and I, more like in Switzerland, you and I and all our neighbors as trained militia members who keep our firearms at home and are well-trained and organized. That's what it's supposed to be. And so we don't like the term unorganized versus organized. It really should be all of us. And unfortunately, like I said before, we have allowed that institution to atrophy and die away and be replaced by the imperfect National Guard. I mean, certainly the National Guard is better than using standing army troops. We had, for example, we interviewed a Staff Sergeant May, Joshua May, from Utah, who during Katrina had refused, along with the rest of his unit of National Guardsmen from Utah, they refused to take part in any gun confiscation in Katrina. And that video is on our website at oathkeepers.org. Folks can go watch it and listen to him talk and give his testimony about what happened. So it's certainly true the National Guardsman, who is only doing that part-time, is more likely to stand down and say no. But even better would be that all of us are the guard, the home guard, the state militia, because then there would be no need for such a large standing army. And that's exactly what the founders intended. So like I said before, they turned it on its head. They weakened the states, They take the National Guard, what's left of the militia, they deploy them overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq, leaving a vacuum of power here at home, so there's less security. And so what do they fill that with? A standing army unit that just came back from Iraq. I think approximately 80,000 troops who are currently at Fort Stewart, Georgia, training for domestic deployment. And the training they're being given is in crowd control and containment and control of traffic, etc. And in fact, we heard rumors that a Special Forces colonel who was tasked or asked to go and train the troops at Fort Stewart, he found what he was asked to teach them so objectionable that he refused and resigned his commission and left the Army. We haven't been able to contact him directly, but I've heard that from two different very reliable sources within Special Forces who have told us that whatever that he was told to do, he found so objectionable that he resigned.
Yeah, I've heard that same story, and I'm glad that you brought that up and about the militia issue here, because I know people. I worked in ops and things of this nature, so you know I understand where they're coming from. You know, we took a vow to protect the people of this country from foreign and domestic. And I myself, I have to admit, I've trained a lot of people in the North State and all over California on how what to watch for, how to protect yourself, your family, on your home front. In our neighborhood, before a truck gets from one end of our neighborhood down to the other, we know who it is. We have radio connection. You use shortwave, CB radios. You know, these are things that people really need to look into and start taking back your neighborhoods. You know, these gangs wouldn't be running rampant and things like that if our neighborhoods were secure. But they've taught us and kind of scared us, a lot of the militia people. I want to touch base with you on this. Because I talked to three or four of them today, because the feds, as soon as you say militia, oh, right away the feds, you know, they're worried about the feds. I know some of them that straight up went underground, and they're good people, good jobs.
Right. Well, that's why I tell people, look, what you should be doing is when you use the term militia, I think it's best to separate that out and say, okay, what we're talking about is an official government body, mm-hmm. made up of volunteers. Kind of like you have a volunteer fire department, correct? It's under the regulation of the county, of the county commissioners, with staff by volunteers. That's what a real militia would be. I think the volunteer militias, citizens militias, are an imperfect substitution for what it should be. It should be a real government entity, because then you, as Dr. Edwin Vieira always points out, then you have sovereign immunity. You have the backing of your county government and also your state government eventually, if you get a state militia statute enacted. And so that's kind of like with the sheriff. Certainly you have a right as an individual to defend yourself, and you have a right to form up with other people, you know, an association to do so too. But it's better to have official sanction and backing by your county government and your state government. That puts you in a different position entirely. You're not a private organization, an association. You are now part of the state government with the state behind you. And that's a much stronger position. So that's why I advocate for that. But, hey, nothing's wrong with starting a neighborhood watch. I just wouldn't call it a militia. Call it a neighborhood watch. Keep the two things distinct and separate.
Yeah, they seem to want to demonize militia. And, I mean, like the MIAC report, I think they show their true colors when they do things like this. And it just shows that we have been hijacked and we don't run our government anymore.
Oh, they've got people fearing everything now. You know, they got
everything good. Everything about the Constitution's bad, and fear the militia.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about
it is, exactly. And unfortunately, though, I think the militia movement, in some ways, made it easier to do that. I think they lost the public relations battle.
Oh yeah.
And you know, certainly most of them were upstanding people who were simply wanted to fulfill that obligation, that role. But because they were a reaction to Waco, which was an outrage, I was very angry about it too. But because they were an overt reaction to government abuse, they put themselves in the posture of being the opponents of the police and military, potentially. And so instead of coming from, we are the domestic security force, period, it was more like, we are forming to fight against government tyranny. And while I understand their motivations and actually agree with it, it was a public relations disaster, okay? So that's why I think it's better to say, look, you know, we recognize our responsibilities. And a big point of having a militia is not so much to be there to fight against the standing army. Certainly that's in the ultimate last resort. That's a role. But what's more important is that by being there in the first place, you make a standing army unnecessary, or you make one that's so large unnecessary, and you certainly make domestic deployment unnecessary. And I think a lot of folks kind of miss that. And so they only see themselves as being there to fight against an oppressive government someday down the road, rather than seeing themselves as part of the state infrastructure.
I agree. I understand that 100%. And where I brought up the unorganized militia, that was supposed to be everyone between 18 and 47 years old or something like that, the Constitution?
Right, yeah. Oh, it still is under federal statute.
Uh-huh.
I think it's 18 to 47 or so.
Yeah.
But, you know, statutes aside, under the Constitution, who is the militia? It's all of us. That's mm-hmm. what they intended. And so we have to resurrect those institutions. We really do. And there are different ways of doing it. Like here in Montana, there's a current bill being proposed by Gary Marbert of Montana Shooting Sports Association. It's called the Home Guard Bill. And the Home Guard is different from the militia because the Home Guard is not subject to federal call-up. So in some ways, it has some advantages. So you can do a Home Guard and keep those troops in your state that can't be deployed overseas. So that's something else to look at. And also, it might be a little bit easier politically pass a Home Guard bill rather than calling it a militia statute, because the word militia in a lot of people's minds, unfortunately, is now seen as a bad word, like you said earlier.
Yeah, here in Reading, we're actually talking about charter cities, and we're in the process of making that come true, but have you heard of charter cities, and what do you think about those?
No, I haven't. What is that?
Well, I'm not quite sure, actually, but I know Lamoff, our congressman, is going to come here tomorrow to talk to the Tea Party, and they talked about it last week, so I'm not exactly sure that I guess I shouldn't have brought it up. But
no, that's good that you did bring that up, Nate, because, you know, a lot of people out there...
I'll look it up. I'll learn something new off the show myself.
Me too.
a lot of people out there don't know these things. That's why we're bringing them up, and that's why if we don't know about it, you hit the internet. Call LaMoffa. I'm sorry, call Doug and everything and ask him. He is going to be here talking about it. And if this is something that can help the American people, I think it's definitely worth looking into, especially at the local and state levels.
Well, sure. I mean, here's the thing to always keep in mind is that, like, under Jefferson's idea of a model American society, he envisioned sovereign farmers on their own land growing their own food, independent and beholden to no one except their neighbors. And then his next idea was, you know, 20 miles square, he called it a ward. What we have left of that is the county. And so most of your focus and most of the legislation that impacts your life should be done at the county level. The state has no business intruding on that. Only things that involve other counties or going across county lines should be, you know, addressed by the state legislature. And the same goes for the federal government, same idea. The federal government shouldn't be intruding inside the internal affairs of a state unless it affects other states. That was the whole point of giving Congress the authority and power to regulate interstate commerce. But they've taken that and they've expanded what's commerce or what affects commerce to a ridiculous level to the point where they now claim the power to regulate almost anything. So once again, they turn the constitutional design on its head. They claim the power to do anything they want unless you can point to a particular part of the Constitution that says no to the particular thing. That's entirely opposite of the concept of enumerated powers, enumerated and few and defined powers.
Yeah, I agree there. As a matter of fact, the commerce issue in the Constitution is talking about interstate, not within a state, and it's talking about the United States states themselves dealing with overseas competition and other companies like that.
Well, it says commerce with the several states, between the several states and the Indian tribes and with foreign governments.
Yeah.
But it had to be actual commerce, first of all, and it had to be interstate commerce. But what they've done is said, we're going to regulate intrastate commerce inside a state, and they also claim the authority to regulate things that aren't even commerce. Like, for example, the Raich decision, Gonzalez versus Raich, I believe it was 2004, which was a medical marijuana case from California. You guys legalized medical marijuana in California. The feds came in anyway and arrested a cancer patient because she was growing her own marijuana in her own backyard. She wasn't selling it. She wasn't transporting it across state lines. So it wasn't commerce of any kind, and it wasn't interstate of any kind. It was simply her growing her own pot in her own backyard to treat her nausea. And they still charged her under the federal... Drug Acts. And, unfortunately, the Supreme Court ruled that Congress can reach even that activity. And Thomas, in dissent, said, you know, pulled his hair out, like, what are you guys talking about? If this can be regulated by Congress, then anything can. But that's unfortunately where we are now.
I agree there 100%. Watching what's going on out there, especially in bringing up the marijuana thing there, I'm really glad you did that because that's a perfect example. Another thing is a good example is the border issue, you know, about illegal aliens and stuff like this. Now, we all have our own points of view here, but if the people of a state vote certain things in and then it's overridden by the feds, you know, the federal authorities, that's going directly against the constitutional law.
Well, if what they're doing is like in the Arizona law case, what they're telling the state is that the state has no authority whatsoever to secure its own border, but the federal government's also not going to secure the border, and so it leaves the state in a a total lose-lose situation. They are not allowed under the viewpoint of the federal government, they're not allowed to do anything to stop illegal immigration into their state. But the federal government's not going to help them either. And you have the federal government posting signs along certain highways in Arizona stating, please, you know, warning, don't go off this road. You may run into dangerous armed drug smugglers who may kill you, basically. You know, as you were saying earlier before I came on, there are certain areas in southern Arizona that are now no-go zones. Yeah. Like, I know a special forces officer retired who lives there, and there are some places that he will no longer go and hike or camp because he knows that the drug smugglers have their lookouts, their scouts, in position with night vision up on the hilltops, and he's just, you know, very concerned about his own safety. So, you know, they put them in a very, very bad place of having to make this Hobbesian choice between no security whatsoever or supposedly overstepping the state's bounds. You know, the federal government is not securing the states by protecting them against the illegal alien invasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they want to demonize guns and not allow them to protect themselves. I really like Sheriff Mack. He's from Arizona. I really like what he has to say about the federal government. He says, "Do you really think that the 13 states would form a federal government that could turn around and just tell them what to do?"
Oh yeah,
and that's the truest thing.
It does create credibility. In fact, Sheriff Mack is on our board of directors with Oath Keepers. For a very good reason, because he's been doing much the same thing, focused on the sheriffs that we're talking about now, fidelity to the Constitution and the obligation of military and police. And so, again, yeah, Sheriff Mack's definitely a squared away man. In fact, I'll be talking along with him in Phoenix on the 29th of this month at the 10th Amendment Center's Nullify Now conference. And I also want to let people know that I'm going to be in Ontario, California, and Sheriff Mack will also be there for the Freedom Law School, February 18th through the 21st in Ontario, California. We'll be there.
Is there one thing I'd like you to do real quick for your website and everything? Is there particular things that you would like our listeners and the people out there listening to go to and look at on your site particularly? Go ahead and give your website information and anything you can, because what you're doing here is really waking up a lot of people.
Well, thank you. I think they should go to oathkeepers.org. That's our main website. And on there, if they would like to read, the very first thing we published that caused a lot of sensation was our Declaration of 10 Orders We Will Not Obey. And it was written by me, but also with the input of several current serving officers, including a West Point graduate. And it's from the perspective of the active duty, what they should and shouldn't do. It's a list of 10, but of course there could be many more things that are unconstitutional. But those were the things we thought were the 10 most egregious. And it's right there. There's a box at the top of the website. They can click on the 10 orders. If they're current serving or prior military, police, or firefighters, they are welcome to submit a testimonial about what their oath means to them. And they could also join. And to be a full member, you need to be one of those prior service or current service, police, military, or fire. But if folks want to join as an associate member, even if they don't have prior service, they're more than welcome to in support of our mission. And also because we're all in this together, that's how we see it. And we have state forums there, and it's free to join your local state forum. You don't need to be a member to do that. What else is on there? Our Declaration of 10 Orders in video format is on there. That's the one with American flag. And then I have a couple videos. My interview with Bill Whittle from Pajama TV is on there from last year's CPAC convention. It's also a very good thing to look at to understand oathkeepers. And last but not least, I recently did an interview with the Daily Bell, and if they'll scroll down, they can find that. And it's a very long, in-depth interview. It's called Oathkeeper Stuart Rhodes and the Rise of Authoritarianism and How U.S. Law Enforcement Can Take a Stand for Freedom, to the very bottom of our blog. And people can check that out. It's a very long, detailed, written answers to their questions.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And Nate, any particular thing you want to ask right now?
No, I mean, I can't thank you enough for joining us. I mean, your organization is very, I mean, it's on the forefront, getting the word out that we need to get out. I mean, we stress a right-left paradigm. We try to break free of that, and you guys help do that, because you guys were honest during the Bush, and now you're honest now, and that's why, that's why I can go back to you and look to you for answers sometimes on your website, or, you know, see what you're saying, lecturing. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, from our country, from everybody in here, for doing what you guys are doing.
Yeah, so I agree.
I appreciate that. Well, we're about ready to start a whole new effort to get the veterans woken up and to really make them take a personal responsibility for restoring those key infrastructures that I was talking about, those key institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, we'll lose our country. And so I really feel like we have to just really focus on state sovereignty, on preparedness, on restoring a state militia, the real state militia, and also on sound money at state level. So keep an eye out for that. We're about ready to launch a whole new initiative with the Oathkeepers about that.
That sounds really good, because I think the veterans are the key issue right here. Those have went over and fought. They understand what they fought for. Then they come back to here to find out that they're being looked at as possible terrorists, you know, that they're the ones that, if you fly your American flag and you believe in the original Constitution, you know, we start speaking up about what's going on. Because really, these people in power, once the American people really start jumping up, and I'm not talking about going out there and shooting anybody or anything, I'm talking about standing up for your rights in mass. Whenever there is a meeting at your city council, you know, or air quality board or whatever, if you're against what they're trying to do, you know, people really need to start standing up for their rights, because if we don't, they're going to disappear. They're really they're like got a hammer and chisel, and they're just taking the rock away of freedom.
That's right, one chip at a time. And here's the other thing also, is that all of us veterans, we are, you know, we are all in this together, whether you're a veteran or not. But one thing about veterans is we swore that oath.
Yes, sir.
So you can't keep your oath if you vote for an oath breaker. That's a fundamental principle. You can't compromise on the Constitution. There's no such thing. If you're going to have a constitutional republic, you must stand firm no matter what the cost. You don't vote for an oath breaker. I don't care what party they're in. If they violate the oath, they're gone. Like John McCain, for example, I consider him a traitor. Mm-hmm. His latest bill he's sponsoring with Lieberman, the Belligerent Detention Act, would rubber stamp and authorize the president to detain anyone, any American citizen, without any due process, on his say-so alone. So John McCain, as far as I'm concerned, is an oath breaker and a traitor.
Yeah, he's one of those Fox News globalists that I'm talking about. We can't just dump Obama and then go get a Mitt Romney or some globalist.
Right, yeah.
We have to step out of this jumping back and forth and thinking it's going to be different. And all this doing is getting worse and worse, and we just don't notice it because the last guy wasn't as bad as the last guy. And
well,
so it's getting worse.
It's deception. We got about 5 minutes left in the show right here. And I just want to say to you a hoo-ah here, you know, for your last statement there. And
yeah, I appreciate that.
And like I said, we've got 5 minutes, so you can take a minute here if you wish and just get more information out, you know. I mean, anything in particular you want us to look for in the United States right now that you see as a necessary thing for the people to really look at? Any one particular thing?
Well, I think the economy. I mean, as you said earlier, people need to focus on the very basics.
Mm-hmm.
You need silver in your pocket and food in your pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to get to know your neighbors. If you don't know your neighbors, then you're not doing your job as a citizen. Get out there, get to know them, start a neighborhood watch, and then start holding all the local officials, this is at the state level, hold their feet to the fire. Make sure that they keep their oath. If they don't, you let them know that, you know, you have one chance only, change your ways, or you're gone. And especially focus on your counties and your county sheriff. Sheriff Mack is completely correct that much of our focus should be on who is sheriff. Because when the poop hits the fan, who is sheriff in your county is going to make a huge difference about whether your property rights and your individual liberty is respected and defended.
I agree with that. And I want to thank you very, very much for being on our show, our listeners and everything like that are really supporting you. And we look forward to possibly having you back again one of these days. And, Nate, is there something you want to say real quick?
No, I just wanted to just say thank you again, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. That sounds good.
Anytime. I'll come back on anytime, guys. Great. Have a good night.
Thank you very much, and you have a great night yourself. Well, this is William Whitecrow, and I'd like to turn around and say thank you very much on what's going on here.
Yeah, we go for our next show. We got
next show we have Mark McCandlish on. Nate's over here trying to whisper, tell me what's going on. Yeah, Mark McCandlish is on our next show. This guy and I've set for 3 hours to talk quantum mechanics and what's going on with the Defense Department. Classified pictures that he drew that they took away from him and everything. They couldn't believe he drew a picture of an actual craft they had out there. We can talk a little bit about the disclosure, UFOs, extraterrestrial situations, and a lot more. I know we only got an hour, but we're working on two here pretty soon. So if you want to touch on that. Now I want to turn around and touch real quick here on, again, advanced soil stabilization using Technosoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. And they also install Crestone driveways. Like I said, call Todd if you want more information on this at 530-549-4801. And remember also that this advanced soil is green-friendly, what they do, and it eliminates dust. Now, I live in the country. I can really appreciate that. And so we want to say thank you to him for becoming a new sponsor. And, Mark, I know you're out there listening. Get ready for the next show. We're going to meet Monday, and we're going to really wind things up on a good thing. So if you want to learn more about extraterrestrial craft, their power plants, some of the secret operations that we have talked about, and private and everything, then you're going to want to tune in. And this is another aspect that we like to do here on the show. We like to bring things that are new to you, you know. And it's not just a conspiracy show, you know. We're trying to bring information to you. That's the most important thing we want you to know. And like we've always said, you don't have to believe what we're saying. Turn around. We want you to look this stuff up. We want you to go to Oath Keepers right now and look them up and learn more about Stuart Rhodes here. As you heard, very, very good at what he does. He gets his point across. He's very factual. There's no dogma, no BS, anything of that nature out there. It's real. This is really happening in America today. And if we don't stand up for ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, who's going to stand up for us? You know? And like you said, look at our local sheriff. Look at people like this at our local level. If they're not doing what they need to do, vote them out. You're the American people. We're the ones that put these people in office. Start paying attention. Start studying your Constitution. And like you said, store food. Store some water. I'm an advocate about this. Store food, store some water. Nate, anything else you want to talk about? Silver, gold here?
Just get back to the Constitution. It's not an old piece of paper that's out of date. It's something that we've lived for. We've had the best. It's not a democracy. It's a representative democracy, people like to call it. But that's why it's been so great, and it's because it's working here, and we got to keep it up. We can't let it crumble.
I agree. Shop at the local level. Be at the local level. And this is William Whitecrow. This is Nate and Chandler right here saying thank you for listening. God bless you all. And tune in next week for Mark McCandlish. And we're going to talk about UFOs and disclosure.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.